In our hyper-connected society, multitasking has pretty much become a way of life. We check our smartphones while we're watching TV, or maybe we check email while we're in the middle of finishing up a work project.
But our next guest says that while we might think we're being productive when we ping-pong from one task to the next, science shows that our brains are not keeping up and that by multitasking, we become less effective. Maybe we even do permanent damage.
Calvin Newport joins us now. He's a computer science professor at Georgetown University. He wrote about the dangers of multitasking for Fast Company, and his new book is called Deep Work, Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World. Calvin, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Well, with the arrival of portable technology, smartphones, tablets, it seems like pretty much we're multitasking most of the time. It also seems like we get more stuff done because of that, more stuff on the go that we weren't able to do before. But you say we're not exactly right about our productivity.
Well, I think it's important to divide the type of work we do into two categories. So in one category, we have what I call deep work, which is where you're actually putting your skills to their fullest limit, and you're trying to produce things of real value and real originality. And then you have shallow work, which is work that's easily replicatable, logistical in nature, perhaps necessary, but not actually producing a lot of new value in the world. I think we spend 99% of our time these days basically doing shallow work, and that we need to shift towards more of that hard, deep work that actually makes a difference.
And part of the problem seems that we treat them all the same, and we treat that deep work like something we can interrupt whenever we want to with the shallow work. What's the downfall there?
Well, people think that they've come a long way since the late 90s. In the late 90s, we actually used to do literal multitasking, where we would have an inbox open while we were writing, while we were talking on the phone. And we heard that that didn't work too well, that we're not actually good at doing two things or three things literally at the same time. So we've moved on to what we think is single tasking. But what's really happening is we're mainly working on something, but every 10 or 15 minutes, we do a quick just check. Let me just make sure there's not a new email. Let me just take a quick look at my phone. Let me just look at a political website, see if there's any election news. But research now tells us those quick checks, even if they're somewhat sporadic, leave behind a residue that can really reduce your cognitive capacity. So it's as if we have a whole generation of knowledge workers who are working with a severe self-imposed cognitive impairment.
It's worth pointing out that it seems like we've completely reversed earlier thinking about multitasking. A decade or more ago, we used to think about it as sort of a gift that you could really pay attention to a whole bunch of stuff all at once. And I remember articles about how women were better at multitasking, women's brains were than men's brains, and that was a good thing. And now it sounds like everything has flipped.
Yeah, well, I think part of what's happening, too, is if we look at our economy, especially the knowledge economy, it's getting increasingly competitive. So the type of tasks you do when you're quickly flitting your attention from one thing to another, answering emails, setting up calls, jumping into meetings, jumping out of meetings, these type of activities don't produce a lot of value, so they make you less competitive. So if you spend most of your time, like a human network router, moving emails around, maybe you feel productive, but you should be worried because you're doing an activity that's easily replaced, automated, or outsourced. In other words, you're not really protecting your position in an increasingly competitive economy.
You mentioned interrupting our deep work can lead to a cognitive decline, and that's actually measurable. You write that it makes us literally measurably dumber when we keep interrupting our work.
Yeah, you can actually quantify, in some cases, the actual number of IQ points dropped. But I like the more broad analogy that the way that most high-level knowledge workers work today, which is where they don't go more than 5-10 minutes without at least glancing at an inbox or a phone, it would be the equivalent if you were working or running a factory back in the industrial age and you had thick gloves on all your workers that was making it hard for them to use their tools and they're making a lot of mistakes and not building the product very well. That's what's happening in this knowledge age. We have this self-imposed cognitive handicap, which means people that we're paying to use their brain to use value are only getting a smaller fraction of that potential value. And I think that's actually an issue not just for individuals, but for our economy in general.
I do want to talk a little bit about some of the brain science. What has science given us to know about what we do with our brains when we multitask? What happens?
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of the original breakthrough work on this was done by the late Clifford Nass at Stanford, and he was really one of the first people to point out that if you do two things literally at the same time, you do them both worse than if you had done one and then the other. More recent research by Sophie Leroy on attention residue has been showing us recently that when you switch your attention from one target to another, there's a residue left in your brain that can last 10, 20, up to 30 minutes before it clears from the first target. And until that residue clears, you're working at a cognitive impairment. So that research is saying it's not just enough about to not have multiple things going on at the same time. You have to give a lot of time to a task, unbroken, undistracted time, if you really want to get the full capacity out of your brain.
Talking to Calvin Newport about multitasking and even sort of, serial unitasking, interrupting the main job we're doing. His book is Deep Work, Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World. And Calvin, you mentioned in some of your writing on this that even, it's not even just checking that email, being aware that there's an email that you want to check at some point in the near future actually can impair your ability to concentrate and be productive.
Yeah, an email inbox, it's almost as if it was designed to be as cognitively devastating as possible, because even if you just glance at an inbox, what are you going to see? You're almost certainly going to see at least one message in there that's important that you know you need to answer, but you can't answer right now because you're working on something else. From a neuroscience point of view, that's a devastating thing to know about, because there's now going to be a non-trivial part of your brain that's sitting there thinking about this email. What should we say? What should we write? I think a lot of people have this experience where they find themselves writing emails in their head as they drive to work or in the shower, and you're thinking, why am I doing this? This is not important. But our brain really fixates on the notion that there's a social expectation. Someone's waiting to hear from you. They want you to say something to them. So I think email in particular, and the way that we use it in the knowledge workplace, is having a massive impact on the productivity produced by the knowledge work sector.
Well, what should we do about it, though? I mean, yeah. We're not going to be able to turn off our email at work, at least not for huge chunks of time. So what's the best way to go?
Well, from the organization perspective, I want to be provocative, and I think we should. I think we're prioritizing the wrong things. We're prioritizing in-the-moment convenience that you get from having everyone with their own email address that you can access them at any time. But I'll tell you, if I was the CEO of a large, let's say, computer development firm, if I was running Google, the first thing I would do would be get rid of all of our programmers' personal email addresses. I don't want them to be accessible by email. I would want them to actually work on their craft and think hard. We can hire other people to figure out how to do the logistical stuff and make sure they know what they need to know, they need to know the HR, this or that. Let's get those distractions out of their head. I want them producing the best possible code. Now, for individuals, yeah, it is a little bit more harder, but the best thing you can do is schedule in advance as you go throughout your day, when is the next time I'm going to look at my email inbox, and then respect that time and make sure that that time gives you at least 1, 2, maybe even 3 hours at a go if you're working on something cognitively demanding.
Well, it sounds like you're also looking for a culture change at workplaces, even if you don't strip certain workers of their email. Nobody with email wants to have that, oh, didn't you read that email, or have you read my email yet, or something like that. And so that's a built-in incentive to always be on top of it and never set it aside.
That's right. The Harvard Business School researcher Leslie Perlow calls it the cycle of connectivity. She actually studied at the Boston Consulting Group how this culture of constant connectivity, how do I make sure that I'm always answering my emails really quickly at all times of day, how it arose. But an interesting observation from her research is that it was arbitrary. And I think this is true of lots of organizations. No one ever sat down and said, our organization will produce more money if everyone's very accessible by email. Typically, these type of work cultures just sort of emerge naturally based on just the idiosyncratic habits and people's tendencies. So I think we have a lot more flexibility than we might expect to make radical changes to these habits. And I think the first individuals and organizations that do stand to be at a great advantage.
Aren't we kind of going against the grain in some shifts that have happened because of technology too, though? I mean, people don't like to have as many in-person interactions as they used to have. They don't want to walk down and have a face-to-face with somebody or a phone call even, and that's what email's for.
Yeah, email is easier. And this is a big reason why it's been so popular. But here's the thing about work. Work is not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be meaningful, productive, and value-producing. By definition, work is not something that is what you want to do in the moment necessarily. It takes a lot of energy. It takes the application of craft. And I think too much of what we do, especially in knowledge work right now, is driven by what's easier for the workers, what's easier in the moment. And I think we should change the question around and say, what's going to be more meaningful and satisfying? What's going to produce more value? What's going to hone my craft more? So I think there's big changes coming. I know there's been this drive towards connectivity over the last 20 years, But once the first individuals and organizations begin to realize how much value they can reap when they actually try to optimize people's brains and optimize people's professional satisfaction and happiness, there's so much value there to be gained that once that Pandora's box is open, I think we're going to leave this age of email.
Calvin, to bring up a hypothetical, say you came to a Midwestern public radio network. I don't know, just pulling that out of nowhere. What would be the first step you'd make to start making that culture and that technological change?
Well, I think it's important to be more explicit about work processes. So one of the reasons why email in particular has become such a source of distraction is because instead of actually having specific processes fixed in advance, here's how we handle this task that always comes up, here's how we handle this very important part of our business, we instead sort of do it on the fly in an ad hoc manner over email inboxes. Just start sending emails, we'll figure it all out over email. And this requires everyone to constantly be checking and sending emails, or this whole network of dependencies grinds to a deadlock. So I think one of the first things you can do to get out of there is start saying, well, what is the actual work that I'm supposed to do? What's the actual work our organization supposed to do? Let's figure out processes for doing that work in advance. Here's when we talk about it. Here's how we move the information around so that we can start optimizing and say, well, this is the most effective way to do guest booking. And this is probably the most effective way to go over the in this hypothetical radio station, our topic ideas for our hypothetical show that runs from 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time. And say, we don't need to just figure this out over email. Let's have processes that we can study and optimize and get people using their brains to their greatest advantage.
All right, we've got a game plan. Calvin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Calvin Newport is a computer science professor at Georgetown University, and he writes about the impact of digital technologies on the world of work. And we've got that article that he wrote about the dangers of multitasking up right now on the Central Time Facebook page.
Some food for thought there. I think, you know, when I'm, you know, hardcore doing some writing here or researching, I think I will try shutting down my email. Is that, it's hard to even say that.
I don't know. Sounds like sacrilege, but well, you know what? We can try it.
I'll let you know as I enter this forbidden territory.